Let's go to our Father in prayer. Would you join me, please? Heavenly Father, we praise you. We could never praise you enough for who you are and what you've done for us, Father. Lord, we pray that we are a congregation united in your Son, obedient to your word, dutiful to you, and having hearts and lives that bring you praise, that bring you glory, having hearts that bring words to our lips, that bring peace into other people's lives, that bring love into other people's days. Father, we pray that if you need to make it hard on us, we accept that gladly as long as our walk is always with you. Father, we don't want to be rich and alone. We don't want to be healthy and faithless. We don't want to be surrounded by praise of others and have no good words from you. Father, we want you and you only. Let anything come that may, that our lives can be devoted and dedicated to you, Father. That our lives can be dutiful and submissive to your word. Let everything else fall where it may, Lord. We never want to let go of you. We love you and pray that our lives can grow in your Son and in your word every day we live. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Philippians chapter 4, that very, very, very well-known chapter. We want to read a couple of verses. Start in verse 4, Philippians 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You know, our lives get in turmoil at times. We have difficulties around us. Even when things are going very well, we sometimes have difficulties around us. Never mind when it's bumpy already. But one of the things that the Word teaches us is to always rejoice and always have thanksgiving in our hearts. Always be thankful. Well, this is Thanksgiving week. You knew I was going to teach on Thanksgiving. It's one of my favorite times of the year. That we can tell everybody. I mean, this is one of those holidays. You don't have to filter anything out. Just go have at it. Give praise and thanksgiving to God. Gather around with family and tell everybody how thankful you are, who they are, and what they do for you, and how much you love them. What an awesome time to stop and watch football. I mean, and tell everybody how thankful you are. What a great day to gather together as church this week. You are all invited, but please, if you have a family gathering, this is a family day for families to gather and praise God and unite with each other. So if you're meeting with your family here in Anchorage, up the road, whatever, enjoy and thrill in the day and convince them how much you love them and how thankful you are to God for them. But if you don't have another plan, please join us. This Thanksgiving. We'll meet together about noon and be eating about 1 o'clock. There's a sign-up sheet in the back of the room. Jake will say all this later. But it's just an awesome time to be together and to be thankful to God. But you know, thankfulness is an interesting thing because the word thanks or thank you does not necessarily have to be part of being thankful. And I want to look at a couple of those things. Let's look at Genesis 21. Thankfulness, I don't get too much tongue-tied here today. Thankfulness is an attitude. It's not just words. You all have been thanked with very insincere thanks. I mean, it's easy to know somebody going, well, thanks a lot. They're not necessarily meaning it. But even the thank you or thank you, you know, it's about time you did it or noticed me. Those aren't necessarily expressions of thankfulness.
I want us to see a couple of Bible figures who said thank you to God without the words thank you. Genesis 21. Sarah, in her old age, past 89 years, when God started to fulfill his answering of her prayers. And in Genesis 21, to have a child. Genesis 21, the Lord took note of Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had promised. Verse 2, Sarah conceived and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, and at the appointed time of which God had spoken him. Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, who Sarah had born to him, Isaac. Good day to read this morning, Isaac. Then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Now Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. Sarah makes the play on words, of course, with Isaac's name, which means laughter. And she makes the play on words because of the inner joy that she has in thankfulness to God. Her rejoicing, like we read in Philippians 4, her rejoicing connected with thankfulness gives her peace in her life before God. And her praise to God, her laughter before God, her joy before God is saying thank you, every day. Joseph has a similar appreciation for God in Genesis 41, starting in verse 50. This is long after Joseph had been sold into slavery, mistreated by his brothers, sold into slavery, abused by his master, and thrown into prison, forgotten in prison, left for dead. And in verse 50, he has sons of Genesis 41. Two sons were born to Joseph. Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bore him. And Joseph named the firstborn Manasseh, for he said, God has made me forget my trouble and all my father's household. And he named the second Ephraim, for he said, God has made me fruitful in my land of affliction. You see, Joseph's thankfulness and appreciation before God after years of being forgotten, years of suffering, years of loneliness, years of near-death experiences where he didn't know if he was going to live from one day to the next or if anybody cared anything about him. He is bringing praise to God by the names of his children, saying, thank you, Father. His thankfulness is active and clear in his life. Thankfulness before God is praise to God. And we should be bringing God praise for all of the things he brings into our lives. Look at Luke 17. Luke 17. The story of the 10 lepers. Verse 11 in Luke 17, while he, Jesus, was on his way to Jerusalem, he was passing through Samaria and Galilee, and he entered a village. 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him. They raised their voices saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when they saw him, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus answered and said, were not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Was no one found to return to give glory to God except this foreigner? He said to him, stand up, go your way, and go, your faith has made you well. One out of ten. I wonder if that's an accurate ratio of people who come back to God in their lives and praise God for what he's done to them. I wonder if 10% is accurate. You know, this reminds me of the joke of the guy looking for a parking place. He's in a downtown area. He's got a critical meeting. It's going to mean tens of thousands of dollars, hundreds of thousands of dollars potentially for him if he gets to this business meeting on time, and he can't find a place to park, and he can't find a place to park, and he can't find a place to park, and he's driving, and he's turning and turning corners downtown. I've got to find a place to park. I've got to make it to this meeting. There's so much at stake. And so in frustration, he says, Lord, if you will help me find a place to park, I promise, I'll be faithful to you. I'll go to church every Sunday. I'll read my Bible every day. I promise, Lord, just help me find a place to park. He turned a corner, and right there in front of him was a place to park. So he looked up and said, never mind, Lord, I found one. Never mind, I found one. Makes me wonder about the lepers. Lord, I'll do anything. Help me be cleansed of this leprosy. Go see the priests. And on the way, you could imagine their desperation. We've seen priests before. I don't know what good this will do. And on the way, the ten are cleansed. Hey, wow, I don't need to go see the priest. I'm cleansed. I don't need to do anything. I'm cleansed. One man, one out of ten, realized what he had to do. What he had to do. You see, in good things, we don't remember. In good things, we don't remember very well to praise God and thank him. And notice how Christ intersects praise, glory, and thanksgiving. Christ is the one who said, was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner who's face down on the ground giving thanks. Jesus intersects glory, our giving glory to God, and thankful attitudes. See, thankfulness is an attitude, and a thankful attitude will realize where the good things in our lives come from. But more than that, it'll realize where all of the events in our lives come from. Look at Acts chapter 5, verse 40. Twice the apostles, or Peter and John, have been dragged in before the council. And in verse 40, the council, took his advice, Acts 5, 40. And after calling the apostles in, they flogged them. Frankly, I'd rather be healed than flogged. They flogged them and ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and then released them. And they went on their way from the presence of the council rejoicing that they had been considered worthy to suffer for his name. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they kept right on teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. I get pretty good sometimes at thanking God for good things. I mean, I thank God for my wonderful wife and my sweet children and the warmth of my home and you. I mean, you just are awesome as a relationship and congregation. It's just, I can just list hundreds of things in my life to be thankful for, all these wonderful things that happen. But thank God for the pain. Thank God for anguish. Thank God for trouble. Thank God for beatings. Thank God for high bills, for cars that break down. Thank God for poor health. Yeah. In every one of those, you draw back closer to him. If Father, I don't know what to do with my poor health, but Father, I praise you for it. Show me. I don't know what to do with this broken car. It's your car anyway. If you don't want it to run, I guess that's your business. If you want me to fix it, show me how I can afford it. They were rejoicing that they were considered worthy for suffering. James chapter 1 teaches us verse 2, count it all joy, or consider it all joy. My brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. We are supposed to be rejoicing. Count it all joy when trouble hits you, when difficulty hits you, when anguish hits you, when struggles hit you. Count it all joy so that you can grow in Christ. Jesus says it this way in Matthew chapter 5 at the end of the what we call the Beatitudes. Blessed are those, verse 10, blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. And in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Our thankfulness before God this week should not be because our tables are full and our food and the food is wonderful, especially coming this Thursday. Our thankfulness to God should be in everything. That God is our God and He guides our lives. And when things are hard, He's still there and He'll lead you through it. And when things are real hard, He's really still there and He'll help you through it. Look back at the things you've been forgiven of. Look back at the things you've been blessed with. And look at the difficulties that have brought good things to your lives. The hardships that have made you grow. And praise God and thank Him for it. Thankful attitudes. Thankful attitudes. Grow them and develop them. This week is a good week for focusing on thankfulness. Let's do it together. Let's encourage one another in thankfulness. But most of all, let's be thankful for what God has done for us in His Son, Jesus Christ. You cannot imagine the volume of sin that has been forgiven. In this room alone. In my life alone. You would reject me and repel me if you knew the sin in my life. God knows every bit of it. And the blood of Christ has washed it all away. It's more awesome than we can know. How magnificent the grace of God is. And the forgiveness of God. We had better live thankful and humble lives for Him. What He's done for us is beyond, beyond. This morning, if there's anyone here who needs a good connection to God's grace, who needs anything straightened out between you in the congregation, if there's anyone here who needs to step forward, we're ready to help you in baptism, in Bible study, in whatever you need. Please come forward. We've chosen a song to sing, a cheerful song, which is appropriate. But let us sing together while you come while we stand and sing.